Today on a frightful episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, should a family have heeded the red flag surrounding the strangely low-priced home they found in their perfect neighborhood? None of the other seemingly comparable homes in the neighborhood were priced this low. So what was it about this one? Was there something unseen going on behind the walls that only those who own the property could experience? That's what we find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And of course, if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And it's more than just you proudly walking around to strangers on the street saying, hey, you know what?
What?
I'm an extra podcast person.
The hell does that mean?
It means I'm special. It means I'm part of a cool group of people who like ghost stories.
You're kind of weird. Why are you talking to me?
Because I'm an EPP. Bitch. That I don't think that's how it would go. But you do get bonus episodes of the show, all of the advanced episodes of the show, and the full archive. It's literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Go and sign up for it. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the show. And
yeah,
how are you?
Don't just go around saying that I'm an EPP. People will think you're in a cult.
Hey, this could be the way we could start one, honey. We've always wanted to do that, haven't we? Haven't we? Haven't we always wanted to create a cult, Harper?
A cat cult.
A cat cult. Yeah. Yeah, that's... it's... but anyway, yeah, do sign up for that. So what's going on with you?
We're going to Hawaii Wednesday.
And by the time this airs, we'll be back. But...
sadly.
Yeah. And that it'll be my first time there, your first time there. And we're going to go and visit the inside of haunted volcanoes.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, the temperature is very hot. And if you do enter the haunted volcano, you will instantly die. So we're probably not going to do that. We'll just do some other things like go to the beach and think. Actually, I have nothing ghostly planned.
Sadly.
I want to relax for a couple of days and not think of anything. Although I'll be thinking of all these things because that's how my mind works. But in a different atmosphere. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just excited for all the colors and food.
The colors and food. Yeah, we were at the mall today. And our mall food court is getting very, very eclectic. It's almost like... around the world in food, which I think is kind of neat because I remember all the old food courts where it was Taco Bell, McDonald's, Sbarro, Wendy's, and Pizza Hut, that sort of stuff. And all those moved out of our mall for the most part. But then all these like kind of independents started coming in and it's been really very interesting. So I had myself a gyro. And then the one next door was a Hawaiian themed.
Yeah, Taste of Hawaii.
So what did you get?
Spam Musubi.
She got Spam Musubi? That's what it's called?
Musubi.
Spam Musubi. Okay. And it's basically like Spam Sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah, is the best way to describe it. I'm not real big on Spam. I like it when it's super fried, but it has to be like crispy bacon fried. I'm okay with that. But yeah, it wasn't bad.
But the main reason in context on why he doesn't like spam is because he threw it up once on Travel Channel. So
I did throw it up on Travel Channel once. And that was a fun experience. I really enjoyed that.
Well, it was behind the scenes, but now you know what happened.
Yeah, Destination Showdown was the show, and I was one of the hosts on it, and it was we had to try spam, and the takes on it were crazy. I think we did like 10 takes and it sucked because it was like eating cat food every single time. Cause it was just open the can, dig my hand in and then just like put it in my mouth and chew and say, spammy. And
spamming.
And the second I was done, they're like, just spit it on the floor. Okay, you sure? They just spit. I don't know why they just have a garbage can or something, but they just do that. And so after like 10 takes, it's just this pile of chewed up spam in front of me on the floor. And then we're done. And they're like, okay, Nick, Ricky, can you go get this cleaned up, please? And so like these two interns run out and they're starting to clean up this pile of spam that I just spit up on the floor over the last half hour. I felt really bad for those guys. Like, I'm like, and I even said like, no, let me do it. They're like, no. And like, all right. Okay. But yeah, there you go. Spammy.
Tony Bruschi threw up on set of a show.
Yeah. Spam is,
Can we get it? Spammy.
Spammy. That'd be
spammy.
That's what, anyway. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, I was 16 years old and we moved into a new house in the suburbs. My parents had bought the property for well under what it was worth compared to property prices in the area. I moved into the second largest bedroom and the first few months, everything was fine. One night, I woke up. And my room was darker than usual. I felt uneasy, but put it down to some sort of lingering nightmare that I couldn't remember. This went on for more than a few nights. I didn't pay much attention and usually went back to sleep. Perhaps the street light had gone out. I wasn't sure there was a rational explanation. Then things escalated. I woke up one night as the covers were slowly pulled off my bed. I ran out of the room and into my mother's room where I slept for the rest of the night. Over the next few nights, a patch of wall in the top right corner of the room would grow darker and darker. I could hear breathing. I would watch the handle of my bedroom door go down and the door swing open of its own accord. Each time I'd grab my rosary and get out of the room. Pictures would be removed from the walls and stacked neatly against them. My grandmother is superstitious and always faces her shoes towards the door so that the spirits will walk out of the room. And I did the same. And came home to find them inverted. The final night, I saw a shape crouching in the dark spot in the corner. The next day, my mother contacted a priest who gave her holy water. She covered every inch of the room and prayed. She's a devout Catholic, and things calmed down after that. A few weeks later, she was at a neighborhood watch forum. One of the cops there was telling war stories. He mentioned the first murder that he had ever worked, and before he caught himself, mentioned the location. An elderly woman had been brutally raped and murdered. She'd been dragged into the second largest bedroom of the house. My room. After this experience, I believe that when something horrible enough happens, it leaves some sort of trace behind. Something so violent is unnatural and alters the energy in space. Awful things would continue to happen in that house that didn't happen to the surrounding properties. I was attacked just outside of the front gate. As was my sister. People broke into the house multiple times, thankfully never managing to get past the security gates or doors. The one group of men tried to get to my mother by throwing concrete slabs from the garden against the gate. It's like the house attracted evil. My parents eventually sold the house and moved out of the neighborhood. We have not gone back.
Maybe it's just a really terrible neighborhood if that keeps happening.
Like, they just were completely oblivious. They're like, behind these gates is paradise. So then, like, it's like really totally in the middle of a very impoverished, crime ridden area.
Yeah.
It's like they're in their bubble and they never quite caught on. Like, why is all this, the sirens, this, there's fires over. It's because you're in like a really bad part of Detroit or Gary, Indiana. Like, that's all it is. It's not ghosts. It's just a crime ridden neighborhood. No, but I'm sure that's not what it was.
Are you fully sure? Because that's...
I would think that they would have, you know, that would have been a good explanation for the kind of cursed feeling. A logical one as well. So I would just imagine that things just, I don't know, something... When something dark gets attached to somebody, you know, I think it plays in very weird ways. Sometimes it can be very extreme. I think there's different levels of what that sort of stuff can be or do. And I think some of it also has to do with how those who are affected by it react to it? Yeah. And does do they continue to be pulled down in negative ways, or do they try and elevate themselves out of it? So I think that's really the way out of things like that.
Also, what a fun tool to break into somebody's house. Concrete slabs.
That's not really a great, very efficient way. I mean, they usually kind of blow up when you hit the, throw things.
Yeah.
But, and it'd be very hard and heavy as well. Very. Just not a,
like,
if that's the method of entry, you're probably not a very good burglar.
You're bad at your job.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I don't know if they still do this, but I remember in about ninth grade or something, they would have us go and take this computer program. And this is about jobs because you just said that. We had to put in our interests and things. And then it would tell you what it thought your career path, what some good career paths would be for you based on what you put in. And you know what the number one was for me, because these programs were just oh so accurate?
Burglar.
that would not be, but you know, probably not extremely far from it. No offense to anybody with this profession. Garbage collector. And I'm like, garbage collector? Like, why on earth with that? I think it's just one of those where it's like, you're too creative, you're too everything at that time, and there really wasn't a spot for it in society. So it was just like, you just don't fit into anything. So, but I think that's probably somewhat true, is I didn't fit into anything. That's why I've always had to invent my own things to do. But if I wasn't doing that, I would be a garbage collector, according to the computer program in 1997. In Wisconsin. Let's go to another story. It says, the more I listen to your show, the more I remember the things and stories that we encountered at my grandparents' property. Again, I only take into account the encounters that multiple witnesses had. As mentioned in the first story, my grandparents' property had been in the family for generations. There were many theories on why there was so much paranormal activity, but the most accepted was that it was on Native American soil. It actually isn't too far from the location that inspired the movie A Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia. Outside of the shadow people we all saw in my grandparents' house, which seemed to follow us around from home to home, I now think there was a demonic presence that wanted to make itself known. My second encounter was a doppelganger. Thanks to your show, I know what the hell it was that I saw. My mom had just started dating this guy, David, who later became my asshole stepdad, of whom I just met. A few nights after I met him, we were still living with my grandparents at the time. There was three knocks on the front door. I was the only person in the living room, so I ran to the window and looked out. It was David. He looked dazed, and I recalled him kind of pale, despite his darker skin. I didn't know him too well, so I ran to let my mom know that he was outside. When I told her, she became puzzled and walked to the door quickly. No one was there, but the dogs in the yard were barking and reacting to something we couldn't see. She called him. This was the late 80s, so there were no cell phones, and he told her that he was still in Fort Benning, about 2 hours away. He couldn't drive at that time and had never been to my grandparents' home. Other family members have seen doppelgangers on the property as well. With there being so many ghostly encounters, I assume it's one demonic being attached to my family and the property. They often saw dead relatives, a shadow person, doppelgangers. It always had a sinister and aggressive temperament. One clue is obvious. There was always negativity or some violent outlash circling the encounters. I rarely believed them. Honestly, I found it hard to believe the wild stories. But now, after listening to your show, I question why so many saw the exact same thing. The encounters span across generations and 13 family members that all grew up on the property. I'm trying to find the courage to go back in there. It's abandoned with some GoPros, my camera and video equipment. I think my next project will be a collection of these stories combined with photographs. Recently on New Year's, my birthday, a friend of my family passed away. He was an older man that lived close to my mom. When he passed away, there was some issues with burial, and he's still being held at the funeral home. My mom and brother have seen him twice, or I'm guessing something posing as him to scare the hell out of them. With each encounter, his body is becoming more and more rotten away. I'm trying to figure out a way to tell them my theory that it's not a ghost, but a demon. Thanks for reading. I've been sharing the show with my sister, a friend, and my fiance who are becoming fans. Keep up the amazing work.
With the whole doppelganger story, that's kind of... I wonder if that's just kind of like, since, like, in the story, it sounded like that man was asleep at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny. It could be like his consciousness just like reflecting.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Where we talk about people haunting people.
Yes.
Where it's, astral projection is one of those. I don't really think of it like that, though. I think it's something where, yeah, where our consciousness sometimes has the power to do that and then overlaps into, I don't know. I've had moments like that, and I can't.
Really? You have? Tell that story.
And it's nothing like as dramatic as what you just said, but I have had moments where I'm laying in bed and my eyes are closed, but I swear I can like see the room, at least like a good outline of it. And I can like sit up and move around and look around, but I know I'm laying down. That's as far as it goes. And then I'm like, it's weird. I don't know if that's like the beginning of an out of body experience, if it's just my mind playing tricks on me, but it's a bizarre thing. But I mean, it could easily be just me kind of falling asleep and I know where my setting is. And then my mind's just, it could be easily that as well. But I'm curious, you know, there have been tests done on this sort of thing, specifically in hospitals when people are going under or they're going to be clinically dead for a short period of time. Sometimes when there's a heart transplant or something, a lot of times if the machines aren't running or whatever they do, there are situations where you will be dead for a certain period and then they revive you. There's been stories where they've done things where they've written letters about words and stuff, like on top of the light that may be hanging down where there's no way anyone could see it unless you're above. Cause a lot of people claim to say see their body from above or some higher level. And there's been there's some cases where, it does not work at all. The people have no recollection. They can't tell you, or they say the wrong thing, but there has been cases where it has worked as well. So it's a hard to say thing. I mean, obviously, if some of these are accurate, then that's a proof that this sort of thing can happen. But that would be in a dead state. What I'm talking about was what I was experiencing was in a live state, unless I was secretly dying there for a few minutes. And then I would be doing that a lot then, because I have that experience quite frequently, like when I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I have too. So,
yeah, I think it's just our minds. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. My name is longtime listener, big fan, love your show. Did have a ghost story. I don't know if it's really a ghost story, but it's endearing. And it has to do with my grandfather. Many years ago, I was living in Fairhope, Alabama, which is on Mobile Bay outside of Mobile. I was young, I was in my early 20s, and I was dating a somewhat older woman, about 7 years older than me. When you're in your early 20s, it's one of those mysterious relationships that you just have to explore. Well, she was losing interest, and dating her was becoming complicated for me, emotionally, psychologically draining. And I went down to the local pier there in Fairhope, and I just needed some time alone, some time to think, and I walked down onto the pier, and I looked up at the stars and looked up at Sirius, which was shining brightly as it typically does that night. Now, the thing about Sirius is when my grandfather had passed away many years before that, my father had noticed that in his observations, Sirius started shining just a little bit brighter the night that my grandfather died. So, because of that, we always called it Pop's star. Pop was my grandfather. And Pop was always very open-minded, open-hearted, very wise, and always open to lend his advice when asked. So I looked up at Pop's star as I'm standing there on that pier. And, you know, I was telling him, you know, Pop, I'm heartbroken, I'm confused, don't know what to do. Just tell me what to do. And at that point, unbeknownst to me, I was actually standing under a lamppost that was attached to that pier. And at that point, when I asked that question, that lamppost turned on. And the light blinded me. And I looked down as I was shielding my eyes away from the light. And there, nailed to the railing of the pier, was exactly what I had asked my grandfather to give me, a sign. And that sign read, "Clean dead bait and fish from pier." And to me, that sign was completely clear. That's exactly what my matter-of-fact grandfather would have told me to do, is to just clean up the mess. It was a messy relationship. It was a messy decision. And I should have known better. And he was right. Anyway, that's always stuck with me. It's probably really the most surreal paranormal experience I've ever had. But it was one that came at an opportune time at the right time. And it stuck with me. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Not a very long story, not a very scary story, obviously, but I thought you might enjoy it. So anyway, keep going strong, guys. Brewskis, love you guys, and can't wait to hear the next story.
Now, with the, like, streetlight, like, lamppost kind of thing blinding you, now that's pretty paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
But the sign, that could easily just be kind of a cool coincidence, but it can mean a lot to some people.
Yeah, I mean, he interpreted it, I think, pretty... you know, accurately.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of depends on, like, a sane person interpreted it the way he just did. That's the way most of us would interpret it. But if you run it through the filter of Dateline, I think it would probably be something kind of more like this. Clean bait and clean pier. The relationship... I'm supposed to drown her by the docks late at night. Right after having just taken her to the ball where everyone said what a wonderful couple we were and I proposed to her. And then her body is found floating in the docks the next day. And in a few weeks, Keith Morrison will want to know more about that story. And then...
and he frames it on Tinkles the Clown.
Tinkles the Clown. I'm not the guy who did it, guys. is your wife single? Tinkles the Clown. Everybody thought they saw a reason why Tinkles may be suspicious. He acted odd. He had a strange persona to him and always asked if he could date the wives of the husbands that he was hired to entertain the children of at their birthday parties. This Tinkles.
Coming yes, soon.
Tinkles you are.
July 24th.
To Dateline NBC.
The fact that you just have that sound ready to go with this kind of stuff is just hilarious.
And we just, it was all improv, you know, it's just,
yeah,
you just go with
fun.
It. You just kind of go with it. Well, that was fun.
Tinkles the Clown.
Tinkles the Clown. And we should do it. That would be an interesting podcast. Us doing an improv show.
Yeah.
Where it's we pick a topic and then we just kind of got to run with it. And that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Every like few minutes you could like kind of stop down and you kind of think about where it's going. And then grab any sound effects you may need for the coming. I think that, I don't know, that'd be something to play with.
Yeah. Well, what would it call? What would it be called?
Twisted Minds.
Yeah.
I think something like that. I don't know. That would be fun. There we go. Come up with good ideas all the time here on the air. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can call 24/7, 379 days a year.
What? That's not correct.
I was hoping you would react.
It's 365.
Good job. All right.
I'm smart.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi.
Hey, My name is Kathy. First, I want to talk to you about your speak and say you were talking about turning it backwards. Well, that's one way. But if you pulled the thing and then you banged it, you made the record skip so you could say things. The horse says, moo. All right, the ghost story. Everyone seems to get freaked out awfully easy. I once was heading into church to help out before hours after on a Saturday. And I was trying the doors to see which one was open. And I went to the back of the church, and this had a graveyard in it. And it was next to a building with a fire escape that was broken off. The building was closed off, windows, everything. So I look, I decide to look up at the other building, at the fire escape with the boarded up window, mind you. And suddenly in my mind, I get this image of a little boy walking in shorts, and this is during the winter, so shorts were not appropriate, walking down the, coming out of the window, walking down the steps of the fire escape, and where the fire escape steps ended, the little boy kept coming, stepping down, down, down. I said, I thought, that's weird. I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea for a story. I'm a writer. Don't know where it came from, though. So I go around the other side of the building, was checking another door. Didn't help. Came back to the first door. There was a board with a large nail in it, which had been propped up on the side. And yes, it was windy. But because of the nail, it had been propped up against something to make sure it didn't fly around. When I came back, the board had turned 180 degrees, nail headed downward into one of the graves on the other side. Now, I don't think this is a ghost story, one, really so much, and two, I don't think that's all that scary, but I think your folks, the folks who call you, just might think it's scary. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, I find that scary. Those events took place like that without, I mean, yeah, that seems very bizarre.
The little boy in the fire escape shall be the book.
Hmm?
She said that she was a writer, so
yeah.
A good book title.
It would be, I mean, but she doesn't seem to find it that spooky or scary, so I don't know that she would go with it, but yeah, the boy in the fire escape.
In the tilted board.
Who would be the creepy child that would play? I don't know actors right now. I don't know anybody's name. Who would be like the creepiest child right now that you could think of to play a role in a horror movie? That like where like the kid's evil. Young kid, like your age or below. So under 10.
Let me think here.
There's no creepy Disney character. You don't even watch Disney Channel.
No, I mean,
that's
not really.
That's funny. Like Disney Channel's not even a thing anymore. With nobody.
It's only Netflix horror movies and Stranger Things at this point.
It's true. It's true. It's funny. Like that Disney Channel was always the deal, but with on demand, I don't know. I guess Disney Plus.
Let me look
here. Okay.
Creepy children.
If you wanted to, you could certainly play one. You could play like Orphan Annie and be the cutest child in the world, and then you could play like a demonic child from hell, and and it would be like, oh my gosh, what a different role she has this time around. You could swing either.
How can I just easily like getting to acting like quickly? I would like to get a role in something.
We'd have to move to like California or something if you wanted to get.
You could
locally act and like plays and things like that. I could see you enjoying that as you get into high school and stuff. I think most of us who listen to this program would feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, I wish I actually did more of that. I never really did it. I loved improv. One of my history, not history classes. Who knows? It's history. We're doing improv. It was an elective class. It was a drama class. And part of it was improv. And that I discovered how much I loved that. And I think that's one of those driving things too, that made me really kind of realize what I could do on the air and, you know, kind of who I am now.
I want to be a stand-up comedian. That's what I want to do.
And I could see that. I could very much see that.
It'd be fun to be on SNL.
Yeah. You'd make your daddy proud. I mean, you already make me proud, the fact that you're doing what you're doing right now. But I think, I always thought that would be a neat, awesome thing to do, but...
You know, 9-year-old me on SNL.
Not 9-year-old you, but I could 21-year-old see... 21-year-old I could me. See 21-year-old you.
On SNL.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I would be like, oh my God. Yeah. No, I mean...
Can we meet the stunt double that plays that redheaded, the main character in Queen's Gambit?
Why would you want to be the stunt double?
Because she's pretty.
Well, why wouldn't you want to just be the person, not the stunt double?
I'd rather just be the stunt double.
Why?
I get to do all the fun stuff. And I look like her.
But when you're an actor, you actually have the choice. Usually when you're doing a show or something or a movie, you know, it's like, and here's what the scene calls for. Sometimes just assume no one's going to do it, but do you want to perform your own stunt or do we do a stunt double? And in most cases, it's a stunt double because nobody wants to get the main actor killed or hurt or anything like that. But in some cases, there's some actors that do their own stunts at 100%.
I'm going to do my own stunts if I ever become an actor. I probably will at some point in my life. Just calling it now. Yeah, I probably will at some point in my life.
Okay, Q, that's the end of the clip for someone who's editing this for the True Hollywood Story in 2080. And anyway, it used to be a show, but, you know, whatever you're editing it for, that's your childhood clip. That's where she says that statement right there.
If there's ever, like, a Titanic 2 movie.
Titanic.
And they need an old lady saying, they called it the Ship of Dreams. And it was. It really was. I would be that old lady as an actor. I would totally do that.
So you're saying when you're older, you want to take that role?
Well, when I'm older, but like...
Or just put prosthetic everything, because you're short, so you could actually probably pass for a really short grandma.
Yes.
And they would do like all the makeup on you.
And then just take all the makeup off me and I play the actual character in the Titanic 2 movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like I know we're totally off topic here, but it's the end of the show. On Golden Girls, Estelle Getty, who was the mom of everybody, was actually the youngest in real life of all those women that were on the show.
I could totally just do that.
Yeah, but they made her up to be the opposite, which is really funny. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Remember, this money does go to pay for that funny girl's education. I'm just shamelessly saying that. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But truly it does. It just goes here to help us live. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to become an EPP, Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.